All right, guys, I'm told it's time to begin, and I'm sure somebody will tell us. Anybody going to give me the time rundown on, up down here, or just they'll tell me when it's over?
When the two-thirds of our heads are dropped.
There you go. There you go. Good deal. Good deal.
Brother Trotter, if you would be so kind as to speak louder so we can get the jokes to you, that'd be great.
Well, that's assuming there'll be some jokes. So, okay. Tim's telling the jokes right now, so. Can you hear me over there?
When you look at us and speak loudly, yes. When you have some that are a little bit hearing impaired.
Okay. I might make a suggestion that you come a tad closer. I'll do the best I can, but closing that gap would probably be good. So I'm happy to be spending a little time this afternoon talking with you about a topic that you hear all the time, mentioned in a variety of contexts, and that's the subject of fake news. One thing I don't plan to do, unless you take us there, and I'd rather you not, at least not in any details, I don't intend for this to become a political discussion, necessarily. Because really, that narrows it down far more than it needs to be. Because the subject of fake news is a very old subject. And it's one that covers so many different areas of life. So we'll try to look at some of those areas together. And this is a breakout session, so I'm assuming that means that we need to be able to chat some. So this isn't meant to be a lecture. So feel free to add your comments and your perspectives. I know that'll be helpful as we go forward. And so I'd invite you to do that. Let's start with prayer, please. Lord God, we are grateful to be your men and to be washed by the blood of Jesus, and it means everything to us. Without that distinctive moment in our lives, we truly are lost and wandering with no point to life whatsoever. And we are grateful that we have the moment that we have here to think about what is important as Christian men, and to try the best of our ability to live for you and influence others to do the same. We pray, God, during this moment of time that we will have a good discussion as to how to properly identify what is truth, what is right, and how to deal with that which is not, and in the whole course of things be able to please you in the process. Bless us to that end, in Jesus' name, amen. Anybody want to take a guess or share your knowledge as to what the first instance of fake news is in the history of the world? Yeah. Yeah. What'd God say? Do not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Very clear, very specific. What did the serpent say? God says, if you do, you'll die. Serpent said, not surely die. I remember Eddie here had a sermon years ago. He probably didn't get it up himself, but it was... and I remember seeing a chart sermon you had years ago, knots in the devil's tail. Right?
barred.
You barred it.
But so here's that first instance. That's all fake news is. And anytime there is information that is shared that is not truth, it is fake. Whether it be a political context, a spiritual context, a family context, you name it. And the Bible says a whole lot about lying. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about lying and the nature of that. David used a passage earlier that I want us to think about because it's important to keep in mind where the source of the problem is. John 8:44, Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." That really sets the stage for everything that we need to be thinking about as the devil being our enemy. He is against truth. He loves confusion. He loves for there to be misinformation scattered around. He loves for people to be misdirected. He loves for people to be confused about things. And he's pretty tickled right now with the state of our world. You know, he has done a good job in a accommodative sort of way. We use the word good. But he has been efficient in creating a lot of fakeness in the world. And you know, fake news leads to fake people. Just a lot of plastic fakery around as to who a person really is and what they're about. I mean, even think about the most significant moment that has taken place in the history of the world with the crucifixion of Jesus. We understand the prophetic plan of heaven and how that moment needed to happen and was going to happen. But the Bible also is very clear as to the responsibilities and accountabilities of people who were guilty of that moment at that time. Remember that great sermon in Acts 2 is preached to people to try to bring them to repentance because of their involvement in what happened relative to the crucifixion of Jesus. But you know, from a human perspective, there was a ton of fake news relative to Jesus. You might even say Jesus was crucified on the back of fake news. Even hiring false witnesses. You remember? Wasn't anything truthful about that whole process. Fake news and good news stand in stark contrast to each other. And that's what God can do in ways we can't even fathom fully. There at that dark moment when fake news resulted in motivating people, the mob, to do what they did relative to his crucifixion and manipulating the religious leaders along with the governmental leaders to bring his execution to a reality. Fake news was there, but Jesus represented, even through that moment, the good news. And we think about his resurrection and how that he overcame death, and because of that, we know we can overcome our own deaths. Boy, that gets really important every day as we look in the mirror every day and see our lives literally passing before our eyes. We're confident because of what Jesus... We're confident because of the good news. And the good news always overcomes fake news. You wonder how many people... Now, you know, we imagine what the day of judgment will be like. And I don't know there would be an occasion exactly like this where it's a possibility, but you just wonder as judgment is being made on individuals, and they say, well, I thought, oh, wait a minute, I was just sure that there'll be a lot of people who base their lives on fake news who will stand before God unprepared one day, even though the good news was available. He made it clear. He made it available. And that's the tragedy of the whole subject we're talking about. Another way to look at it is there's fake news and then there's fact news. It was just shared with us, I think, something along the line of objective truth versus subjective truth. And it's a very similar thing and just in different words. I like the quote attributed to the late Daniel Patrick Moynihan, a past four-time senator from New York. He says, you are entitled to your own opinions, but what? You are entitled to be wrong, but that's not this quote. You're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. Facts are facts. And I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed the lessons we've heard today. Just splendid presentations in a variety of different subjects covering that very, very point. There are things related to facts that need to be understood from a gospel perspective. And I'll get to a question in a minute for you to talk. We might think of the words of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians in chapter 1. Verse 9, of course, he repeats it, as you know, twice. And then he says the second time, as we've said before, so say I now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul says, what I've shared with you and you've already received is fact. Do not fall for anything that is fake. And anything else presented in contrast to that is fake. Now, I know that we're always growing and learning, and I don't care what age we are, we are progressing in our studies and in our understanding, but it troubles me when I hear people who have followed God's precepts very plainly and very clearly for years, and you hear somebody say, well, we're restudying that. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place. You know, we want to be open to such things. This is just an experience. It's a red flag with me, okay? When somebody says that they're getting ready to make a change on long-established, settled truth and practice, well, I'm restudying that. And you know what? We're praying about it. And we're going to see where we end up. Do you know, this is my experience, where people have always ended up? I've never had anybody say, we decided we were right all along. It always results, in my experience, in making a change or a departure from the clear, preserved truth. I mean, you think about, it's just a matter of time with the whole concept of gay marriage and acceptance of that as being a natural approach to the sharing of one's love with another. Someone told me 10, 15 years ago, said, that's going to be a problem in the church one day. I said, you've got to be kidding. That is no way. There couldn't be anything any clearer than that. And we're not talking about a lack of compassion. We're not talking about trying to identify and support someone who has same-sex attraction. And they're trying to wrestle with that, you know? And we need to assist in that. But to just say, well, that's just perfectly fine. God approves that. That relationship is perfectly fine. No big deal. But you know, I'm beginning to hear that a little bit here and there now. And you think, well, are there any post that we will stand for that we will not give up one day? You know, you just wonder. And we are allowing, generally speaking, if we're not careful, the culture is changing us instead of the other way around. And we are supposed, the gospel is supposed to be changing other people. And we're to change the world with the gospel rather than just putting our finger up in the air and say, okay, what's popular now? And we'll go that route. If our faith, and for that matter, just generally in life, the only way to distinguish between fake news and fact news is careful analysis. It's the only way. Question. What are some of the barriers to careful analysis? What keeps us sometimes from being able to go through that process successfully?
Pride.
In what way?
Self-pride. A lot of people like to admit the fact that they are wrong or they may be wrong.
Okay.
A lot of people just want to go along.
Okay, just go along so we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, or we just want to go along with whatever someone puts forth. Certainly the whole concept of pride is one that's an age-old issue, isn't it?
You got family that's involved in activities and you don't want to go against your family.
Absolutely. And that's hard. I mean, let's at least say and acknowledge that's hard. I mean, that's just tough. And for us not to acknowledge that really, I think, shuts down any conversations that we can do to help. But that is very, very difficult. Yes?
They want to validate themselves.
I'm sorry?
Validation of oneself.
Okay. Validation of self, which kind of dovetails back to the pride issue, isn't it? Yeah. All of these things are important things that keep us from handling it well. How about my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts? Now, let me say this. It is really, really important, and especially we've got some young men in here. God bless you for being here, by the way. Good. But whatever age we are, at whatever point we are in our faith process, our faith has to be ours at some point, you know? And that is really critical to be able to instill in our young people, to help them understand the difference between fact and fake. And without some training in that, we assume, well, they've been coming to church all these years. They all should have picked it up by now. It's not something to be picked up. It's not something that happens through osmosis. You know, it is critical thinking based in critical teaching. And I don't mean critical in a negative way, but I mean tearing apart the scriptures and understanding what's involved, studying the context, coming away with a conclusion. And you know what? The conclusion drawn on the basis of this, earlier it was said 2 + 2 = 4. You know what? That's always going to be that. You can restudy that issue anytime you want to, as long as you want to, but 2 + 2 = 4. It just does. And it always will. But we need to help understand the process of our spiritual math, as if you will. To help people appreciate that. And each person's faith must become their own faith. We influence that to teach our children, to teach our grandchildren, to empower the young growing up. But you know, you don't just inherit your faith. It is taught. Don't assume, but rather prepare. That's really important. Or just laziness. That's a barrier to the process. None of us are immune from that. We let other people do our thinking for us. If I want to know what the facts are, I'll just go to this particular website and they'll tell me. I'll watch this particular news channel, and they'll tell me. And I can trust everything they say. A lot of people live their lives that way right now. And if we do that, we're going to find ourselves in a situation that's truly going to cause there to be difficulty in our lives. I think, too, there is the need, and David again mentioned this earlier, we need to overcome what seems to be reasonable. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. Following our seemer will lead many times to what is unseemly. It just truly will. Well, it seems right to me. That feels right. And then we get involved in our emotion and fairness. Oh, buddy, that's a word that we really are prone to really dig in on. Well, it's not fair that so-and-so would have to change their life in such a way. It's not fair. But we need to appreciate the fact that God is the one who teaches us in relation to what is right and wrong. And in our day, when everybody is their own God to a great degree, I mean, people tend to be that way. We need to appreciate that we serve a sovereign God who is Lord and Master. And all I can do, the very best I can do with my life, is to be a good subject in His kingdom. But it is His kingdom. It is not my kingdom. And it never will be. Also, there's a problem because there's a failure to use corrected vision, and our eyes will play tricks on us. Happens every time we walk by sight instead of by faith. Then we end up not passing the vision test. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that very specifically. We walk by faith, not by sight. There are people who believe things wholeheartedly, and as far as the scriptures are concerned, couldn't be more wrong. But they are very certain. And they're very aggressively certain. They will shout you down, certain. And it is very difficult sometimes to navigate that when we want to be very peaceful people and very kind people. But we have to be careful, and some of you know me well. You know I'm not a rebel rouser. That's just not who I am. I'm a fairly vanilla kind of guy. I just really am. But I tell you, in the world which we live, we've got to be very, very careful that we not let other people bully us out of our faith. And there are some who'll do that. We need to commit ourselves to carefully and diligently walk the line between being gullible and being stubborn. And I got to tell you, that's tough sometimes. I've been both. You probably have been both too, at some point or another. Being gullible is falling for anything and everything on one extreme, and the other is refusing to believe what should be obvious on the other. With the former, it's all too easy to just be like a baby bird. When a mother bird's feet hit the nest, is the baby bird looking at her? Uh-uh. Eyes aren't open yet. But what does come open? The mouth. And that baby bird does not put in an order for what it wants. Mama makes that decision. And mama comes and drops that worm or whatever in that mouth. And the baby bird just assumes that what is being put in their mouth is what ought to be there. We got to be so careful that that doesn't end up being who we are in our day-to-day life. That we blindly, eyes not open, swallow anything and everything that comes our way. Well, it was on Wikipedia. I mean, you know, it was there. Looked like they had a lot of research. I mean, you do know that you could go into Wikipedia, right, and edit yourself. I've never done that. I'm told that you can do that. But you know, there's a lot of things that you can do today that make it look real fresh and fancy and right. Any of you gotten an email before from what was purported to be your bank or some company, and the information looked sharp, it was crystal clear, asking you to provide your account number or your social security number or all, and buddy, it looks real. I hope you didn't, because a real industry will not, I'm told, ask those things. That's what I go on that basis, because there's fake news out there who are trying to hurt, trying to take advantage, trying to cause mischief. And we cannot just be gullible to anything and everything. If anybody wants you to invest in something in Nigeria, please have better sense than that. You know, if you'll just send in $500, we'll give you $5,000. The only thing that's going to happen, you're going to be out $500. It's fake. But now concerning that latter point of being stubborn. And this is an important point, because if we're not careful, we will fall prey to this side of things as we try to make a stand for certain things, as we should. Something is not fake news just because I don't want to accept the facts. I'm tempted to go there politically for a moment, but I'm not. But on both sides of the aisle right now, there's a whole lot of accusations that are expressed. Well, they'll never tell you anything that's truth. Well, that's not right. No, sometimes it's there. Never anything right. Or if it's not what I like or what I want, then it must be fake. Not necessarily. You remember how the religious leaders of Jesus' day were called stiff-necked? Yeah, Tim. 5 minutes, I'm sorry. Tim, you don't have to raise your hand. You can. Tim was so polite. Now he's not polite. All right, we need also the wisdom of Nehemiah. Let me move on from that. This is you remember the great story of all the work that was done in rebuilding the wall. All of it's a good study to itself, but there's a key passage here that ties to our topic. Chapter 6, verse 5, "Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, 'It is reported among the Gentiles, among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you're rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together.'" You can just hear it drip. "Then I sent him saying, 'No such things as you say are being done, but you have invented them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. That's a wonderful prayer that we need to make. As there's all kinds of stuff being said that's fake, invented out of somebody's own minds, and we need to try to distinguish what is true. We can if we work at it hard enough, and to know the facts versus the fiction, and to realize that that is the devil's work, to confuse and to make us afraid. So what about my fake news in connection with other people? Let's think about that for a moment. I want your reaction. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Did you hear that one growing up? Yeah, you heard that? Is it a big lie? You telling me my mom and dad lied to me, Jerry? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Now, they were trying to prepare me to give me a tough skin. And I understand the point. I do. But you know, words do hurt, don't they? They do hurt. And because of that, we sometimes shy away to try to avoid any kind of pain that comes from other people. But I tell you, in today's world, I kind of relish the day when everybody didn't have a forum to share their opinion. Those good old days are gone. Everybody feels like they got a comment on everything. And they're blunt, hurtful. And it's almost a game to people. We got to get tough so that we're not so sensitive that we can't navigate that. Proverbs 8, 6 to 8, listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. Am I down to about 3 minutes? Oh, 1 minute. All right. Let me summarize with a passage I really want us to get to. Because in the church, we can be very guilty of hurting each other. Whether it be, and by the way, gossip, whether it is on Facebook or Instagram or online, is just the same condemned gossip as something that was said face to face. Okay? So let's be careful how we use those tools. Proverbs 26:18, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As charcoal to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. All right, time is up. I appreciate you guys being here. Maybe there's been a few things shared that will be helpful to us. But make sure you're a part of the good news, that you're part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Thank you.